Hi, it's Larry here of Xbox's Major Nelson. Welcome to the official Xbox podcast. We're kind of chugging on through January. We got the whole gang here, Jeff and Rebecca. Hey, gang.
We're chugging. Hey. There's gangs. Are we building a railroad? What's happening here, Larry?
Are we in a gang?
Well, you guys are the posse, the gang, the crew, whatever you want to, the fire team.
What kind of criminal enterprises do you get?
All right. Then to make it more thematic.
Hatching schemes.
You're my operators, okay?
Oh, there we go. I like that better.
To make it more thematic anyway. Welcome back, everybody. Mm-hmm. Welcome back. Hello, Rebecca in New York City. Is it chilly out there still?
Yeah, we're expecting a big snowstorm this weekend. Ooh. Wish me luck. But it sounds like a good time to curl up on the couch and play some games. So
it's not a good snowstorm in New York City unless someone's going down Fifth Avenue in cross-country skis. I'll tell you that.
Okay, I'll keep an eye out for that.
Keep an eye out for that as well. But Jeff and I are still tucked away here in the Northwest where... Well, it's sunny today. I don't know about you over there, Jeff. Jeff and I live a few miles apart, but it's sunny here.
It's really disconcerting. There's a ball of fire in the sky. Give me my rain, please. Thank you.
All right. Well, hey, gang. It's great to see you guys. We had a good week of gaming. We're going to talk about our operator experience in just a few moments.
A good week, he says. Good experience.
Yes.
Bad result.
Right. Well, we had fun. That's all that matters.
That's true.
I wouldn't say bad result. Yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah, it was a learning. There was opportunity for learning. Let's say that.
That's a good way to spin it, Larry.
Anyway, it's I guess we should just jump right into it. Jeff, I see something in the back there that I don't recognize on your screen there. What are you playing over there?
Yeah. So a good friend of ours, friend of the show, Andy Looney. You remember Andy?
Oh, Andy. Chef? Yeah.
I love Andy.
Seems to be the official, unofficial culinary artist of the gaming industry, it seems like. And we used to work very closely with Andy. He used to be on the team, actually, if we go back a few years. And he tweeted out last week just gameplay of a game called Chorus. So Chorus was a game.
Is he affiliated with that game? Is that what he's doing now? I don't know.
I know. I don't think he works for it or anything. It was just like showing gameplay. And it was like everybody, and myself included, that replied was like, how did I not know more about this game? This is a game that came out on Xbox December 3rd. So, a couple days before Halo. We might have just sort of like been focused elsewhere.
Right.
It's an open world space shooter game with some...
Again, sounds like Halo.
Like literally in a spaceship.
I see.
So maybe pretend you were the pilot and the whole game was about the pilot.
Oh, wait a minute.
I think we're getting somewhere.
I remember hearing about this.
We first revealed this game back in 2020 when we first showed the first batch of sort of like different games, indie games. Although I guess Assassin's Creed Valhalla was shown for the first time. It was like spring of... 2020, so almost 2 years ago. And like the pilot of the ship, she's got some sort of psychic abilities. So she's above and beyond just a normal pilot. And so she can sense things. And I'm pretty early in the game, but it's really interesting.
Now, is it FPS?
Huge expansive environments. It's a third person. Again, you're in the ship the whole time.
So does it have a vibe like Dead Space?
Again, not in the ship as in like Isaac Clarke is like running around the halls of the ship.
I see.
Controlling the ship.
I see. So you're piloting.
So like if you've played like Everspace, but different because it's an open world game, like where you're picking up side missions and you're visiting people, escorting, going headlong into battle, like going through sort of warp areas. And the map is like really cool in 3D and there's a lot there. I'm pretty early on, but it's definitely captured me. Yeah, go on, Rebecca.
You're battling other ships?
Typically, yes.
Yeah.
And again, pretty early on, so they're introducing me to new types of ships and some that are armored and some aren't. And so dogfighting. Like, I guess the nearest thing I would say is if you enjoyed the Star Wars game that came out, was it last year? I don't even remember.
Yep.
Rogue Squadron. So if you enjoyed Rogue Squadron, that type of game, it's obviously not in the Star Wars universe, but if you are looking for more in a single player adventure, I would say check it out. In fact, the game happens to be on sale because this week there's the Deep Silver and Friends sale. So Chorus is 25% off. So if any of those things sound interesting, open world space shooter, dogfighting, adventures. I would say check it out.
This is this is as you said, published by Deep Silver and it's developed by Fish Labs, and they've been around for about 10 years or so. They've done some mobile games. I'm just looking on their Wikipedia. They've done interesting. They've done some of the Saints Row ports for Switch. So that was
interesting.
Yeah. So they've who knows? Something on there from Germany. So good friends in Germany. Nice. Anyway, we'll have to check that out. So it's captured you, has it, Jeffrey? Is space travel your thing?
It is here. There's sort of you're inside this your main character's named Nara. You're in her head a lot. There's actually a little bit of like, the sort of like internal monologue that reminds me of Hellblade a little bit, where you were sort of speaking to yourself. So anyway, if you found that disconcerting, then maybe not your thing. But
can I read the synopsis?
Go for it.
Nara, a top pilot with a checkered past, and her sentient starfighter Forsaken must work together to defeat the Circle, an oppressive cult led by the Great Prophet who seeks to dominate the whole universe.
So it's a sentient ship. So are you like, do you communicate with it or is it like an AI?
Yeah, tell us about that, Jeff.
You've got more abilities than like a normal captain in a normal ship, to the extent that those things exist in real life. So just think of like being able to do above and beyond what a normal spaceship might be able to do. And I'll leave it there.
Okay.
I'm just reading. Sounds I'm cool. reading it about it. Yeah. Anyway, so check that out. And if you want to, we'll put a link to that in the show notes if you'd like that, Jeff. Thank you. And thank you, Andy. First of all, it's good to hear Andy's name again. Second of all, thanks for the tip.
Yeah. It just shows like sometimes the right post at the right time, like showing off some footage, it makes you look at a game that you knew existed but didn't know anything about it.
Or forgot
and
about.
Just completely wasn't what I expected and in a very pleasant way.
Yeah, that happens to me a lot when I go back after, you know, whatever the big AAA tentpole title comes out and you're like, oh, what was this? And then something came out 6 or 8 months ago, like The Pedestrian that I was playing a lot of a few weeks ago, which came out a year and a half ago. So you never know. There's always something there for you. So that's been your latest jam. Rebecca, what are you playing? If you don't mind me asking.
I haven't been playing a ton this week. Obviously, we played Rainbow Six Extraction last night, which was awesome.
We've got video on that in just a moment.
Yeah. I finished Invincible on Amazon Prime, a superhero animated series, but pretty dark. Highly recommend it. It was really, really good. But yeah, aside from that, I've just been playing kind of casual games with my friends like Overcooked 2 here on Couch Co-op. I love Couch Co-op on Overcooked 2. But yeah, we should talk about Rainbow Six Extraction. That was really fun.
So yeah, as Rebecca said, I've been playing that. Jeff and I have been playing Halo. Rebecca, we still need to get you into our fire team in Halo. For some reason, the timing quite hasn't worked out. But yeah, we went into Rainbow Six. We talked about it last week. We had the interview last week and we're like, we need to play this. We tried playing it last week, but timing didn't work out, but we finally got to do it. And well, how should we set it up, Jeff? How should we talk about this?
Rebecca, why don't you let us know your experience? Because this is your first time playing.
I really liked it, but I will say, like, out of the three of us, I was the least experienced. So I had the benefit of kind of coming in and being told what to do, which is great. Like, it's awesome when someone else already figures out these are the rules, these are the objectives, this is what
there
we're supposed
no
to be doing.
There is no health. Go here quiet. In this place.
Yeah. Like, oh, you took the only health pack. Oops, my bad. But I actually really liked it. I think I would just need to play with someone like Jeff who can kind of very politely guide me in the right direction. But Larry, it didn't seem like you were so. Keen on the game.
Here's the Larry thing. And this is not reserved for Rainbow Six Extraction. This is the anything where it's like, okay, we're going here. And then Larry, where's Larry?
hey.
Oh, he's clear across the map, setting off traps, alerting the enemies, and with mixed results.
Well, to be fair, and that's a fairly accurate representation of some of my gameplay. With the new game, it's, you know, you're kind of like a new puppy in the house where you're kind of walking around trying to poke things and figure out what's the game, what's the environment.
Fair.
The problem is, or the different element with Rainbow Six is once you lose your operator, your character, they're out of the game. And it could be for a significant amount of time because they just don't respawn. They kind of, you go back to the character, there's about a dozen character operators that you can choose from. And there's a big X over them and they're kind of, their health is regenning rather slowly.
Yeah.
So they come back.
I did feel the game was a little bit severe or like harsh in that sense. Like I don't know. I feel like in most games, if you get revived by your teammate, there's usually not too much of a penalty. Maybe you lose some health, but you can only be revived like once in an excursion. I don't know what we call them. So, you know, my first match that I played online with other people, I died pretty fast. I got revived and then I died again. And then I was spectating for like 5 minutes. I don't know. I guess it was a little, I found the consequences to be a little bit too harsh.
Well, they and that's exactly, I mean, I think I've already taken out 5 operators, so they're all in ICU right now trying to come out. Yeah. But what the funny story was is we were playing it, and I'm down. I think, did I go down first, or did you go down first, Rebecca?
I think I did.
Yeah, and then I went down shortly thereafter. And then Jeff, now, for those of you that have not played Rainbow Six, there's a mechanic where you have to pick the player who's now knocked out and get them to an extraction point and put them into essentially a Bacta machine. Jeff kept calling it an oven.
Or it's like a dumpster. You're like throwing them in the dumpster, or it's like a tanning bed.
But they're kind of covered up and they look like a mummy. And so Jeff made a choice. I'm going to have to agree.
So here's the thing about this game is you, there's risk reward all the time.
Yes.
How much do you do before you say, I don't think we're going to be successful? Because it's not just finishing the mission and it goes to black and everyone's like, yay, you did it. You know, it's, you need to escape. And if you don't, then there's consequences, as you said, Rebecca. And I feel like, Larry, you're an optimist. Let's just put it that way. And it's like, if we were going to a buffet, you'd be like, I'm eating 6 plates, man. I've got this. And after like 2 plates, I'm like, I think we should stop. I don't know. And you're like, let's do it. And so there's chances to turn back or to keep going. And we wanted to keep going. It didn't work out so well.
At all.
So you two go down, and I have 5 hit points, by the way. I'm like,
yeah, that's really right. Yes. And we're going to show a video along in a moment. It'll all be there.
And I'm like, that's it. We're getting the hell out of here. So I'm just going to pick, you know,
we are leaving
and let's get, it's like, no, I'm not doing it. So you can roll at this point if you want to roll the footage. And
this, and what you're going to see now is just, let me set this up. This is footage from Rebecca's point of view. So this is, Rebecca is basically in her death cam and Jeff is going through it. So let's go ahead.
Okay. So I pick you up and I'm like, let's just sneak around. And then I find the exit. And
by the way, watch this.
Here we are. Oh, you went to. Oh, nice. You got to show the one where we see a little bit more.
All right, let me go.
That's
to, let me
short.
Yeah, let me show you. This is. I'm sorry. That's this is. Short. Yeah, that was way too short. So let me go.
You cut straight to the punchline.
All right, let me go right. Let me try this. This is Rebecca's point of view. That was
so. I'm like, okay, we're gonna get out here. We made it. I'm gonna get Rebecca, and I'm gonna evaluate if we could pick up, like,
first of all,
who is in this safe zone? This is the safe zone. Why are you in here?
And by the way, Jeff fans out. The hammer there. We don't know how he does that.
I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm freaking out. I'm like, okay, great. Now I got to wait for that gas to dissipate. You see, I have 5 XP. Then another dude shows up. 1 shot, 1 kill. Okay, fine. Now
let's close the door, shall we?
Then another one. I'm like, F it. I'm shutting the door. And that guy steps in the elevator. The door should have squished him, but no, it's like, well, this could be a person. It opens back up and then they promptly kill me. And the scream that I let out of like, just like, it was very much like the cliche, like, no! Like my wife came down and she was like, what are you doing?
And I thought you had made it, but if you had, you had the right thought of closing the door, but apparently the AI ripped it apart.
They knew.
Bam.
And you know what I will say is I don't react that much to a game. You know, that often. This game, Rainbow Six Extraction, has stakes. The stakes are high. The risk and reward is real. And failing right there was so painful. And then what we didn't record, and it's a good thing we didn't, is the next mission we tried to go back and rescue
our
corpses. That was a disaster.
And we were not successful in that endeavor.
That was a disaster, wasn't it?
Yeah, I feel like that one was kind of on me. I was like not really understanding that we were supposed to shoot the like sparkling things going into the body.
Wait a minute. That's not, do not take that responsibility, because Jeff and I, because we had played a couple more matches than you, we had never gotten to that point where we had to extract. So we didn't even know what the game was. We were like, oh, we got to get back to the regular area where I died or you died. No. Your character is kind of transported into this like kind of like an alien where they're steel and they're brought to the hive. They were brought into this hive thing. We're like, oh, okay, we finally figured it out, but we still didn't know what the mini game was, to your point.
It was like Gears of War, where like Dom was like captured and you know, you had to like cut him out, and I mean, and spoiler alert, that didn't work out so well either. So it happened.
Anyway, but it was a lot of fun. And I love playing co-op games that are unpredictable. And this one was highly unpredictable.
I agree. I think this is probably my favorite co-op game that we've played like as a team so far. So I liked it. I would do it again.
it was a lot of fun, and we should probably try that again.
We just need to get good. I think it would be helpful if we watched, because I did on Twitch, I was watching people that knew what they were doing, and it looked like a whole different game.
Can I show you this? Okay, those are my operators that are dead. I no longer have operators.
Oh, the rest are going to resign.
they know
brutal what they're walking into.
So it's unpleasant. But anyway, so that's a lot of. But you know, it's on Game Pass now. So go ahead and download it on Game Pass, and you can check it out. Just you get a couple friends together, and you can kind of see what's going on. Oh, here come the invites, Jeff. I'm looking on the Ubisoft invites coming in here. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. If you have, again, and you know, I've been playing co-op games for a better part of a vast majority of my life, and they're always you know, a lot more fun when you play with friends. So I want to thank you, Rebecca, and thank you for Jeff for that, for those lulls.
Thanks for the memories.
Oh boy. Anyway, Jeff and I have been playing, we talked about a moment ago, playing a little bit of Halo. We're marching through. I think the event is almost over now, right, Jeff?
We're this close to getting our Mohawks. Very much
neon Mohawks, mister.
Neon Mohawks. I got my visor, all that stuff. Really like the stuff in the shop, and on the battle pass for this particular event, and it goes on. I'm sure by the time you hear this, you'll be in the last couple of days to get that. We were not quite as under the gun. I thought we had to get them all in 1 week, and I didn't get. I think I just got into the visor, but now a few more times. Really enjoy this new mode, attrition. Where
have
you
played it yet,
folks.
Rebecca? I think you said you did play it, right?
No, I don't think I have.
Okay,
you said it's a new mode, like in the last like week or two.
Do you want to explain it, Larry?
Yeah, it's actually specific to this event, the attrition, and it's really interesting because in normal Halo multiplayer, there is no concept of revive, and in this one, they introduced it for this mode only. So you have, you know, a set number of lives, and once you go through that, you'll respawn.
The team shares them.
So each team has a set number of lives, and as they're whittled away, once you reach you'll hear the voice. You'll hear the Mr. Announcer. No more revives. Then you can go in. Your character, if you're down, will go into a little ball. Your AI will be there, and then a coworker, but a teammate can go over and revive them. And of course, you leave yourself exposed because it takes a second for it to go through. So it's a really interesting mechanic. We played a game last night against, Jeff, against a pretty good team. And we were like, okay, we've got them. It's 1v1. And all of a sudden that person went, the opposing team went and revived essentially everybody. And it was, we were out.
And then it was 1v4.
Yeah, it was 1v4 and it was game over. Yeah. So, yeah. But yeah, it's a lot of fun, and to get you in there, they've got a whole series of special with the special event. You can, as Jeff said, you can unlock. I'm looking on the screen right now. You can unlock a series of things from visors and some armor coatings and things like that. But we've had fun in that. If you like that concept of a revive, but it's definitely a nice change of pace to have that. So
more risk reward, cool. I think, because it takes a little bit of time to revive. And
well,
so,
not only that, but you're much more careful about
that on this week.
You're much more careful about dying because you're whittling away at the team's resources. So that's one of those things.
You don't want to be that guy.
Yeah. You don't want to be, that person taking the only health on the level. Rebecca. Mm. So
I know. I after like one or two matches of Rainbow Six Extraction, I was like, oh, okay, I need to be a lot more careful and a lot more stealthy. So, okay, maybe it's a nice warm up for attrition then.
And Jeff's tip, which I think you gave on the show last week, and we were reiterating last night when we were playing, is make sure your loadout has a suppressor.
Going quiet.
Oh yes, good tip. Good tip. Yeah. Yeah.
So because I ended up at one point because I didn't have an operator left. I had to pick a shotgun and I was like, all right, here we go. Boom, 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 boom. Jeff kind of got in the way of some of those shotgun
shells. So much for stealth. Yeah.
All right.
There was one of the exploder guys like right in front of me, and you just were like, pull, and you just blew him up. It took half my health off in one go. I'm like, shoot the bomb when I'm standing right next to
you. I think it was actually that particular moment, and that's what got your health down, if you remember in that clip.
That might have been it. Yeah.
You know, you remember in that clip.
Good teamwork, guys.
Jeff, I mean, you can see down in the lower left-hand corner.
Yes.
Ooh, yeah.
Jeff has 5 hit points left here.
Don't make me relive that moment.
Anyway, all right. Well, we got some news here. We got some interviews, Jeff. I don't know if you've got everything in front of you. Why don't you set us up so we can get us into the interviews?
All right. Yes, we're going to be speaking with two folks. First of all, Rebecca's going to be speaking with someone who has joined the team and has a really interesting role. His name is Albert Dankwa. And then you're going to see a very familiar face, Joe Three Sheets Neat from Rare, to detail a whole bunch of new stuff that's going to be coming as we've seen the roadmap for 2022 for Sea of Thieves.
I'm very excited today to welcome to the show Albert Dankwa, who's the content developer on the Xbox team. Welcome, Albert. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here. I really appreciate it, and I'm excited to be in the Xbox podcast, Rebecca.
Of course. Well, it's always awesome to speak with another Xbox colleague. So first, if you don't mind, do you want to just tell us a little bit about your role and what you do as a content developer?
Sure. So as a content developer, I sit within the team for Xbox support. And my job is to, well, my first job was to create Xbox support videos to, you know, be educational and informative for our gamers and fans around the globe, which I found much joy in. And then along the way, my boss was like, hey, could you describe how you would present this video in 250 characters or less? I'm like, okay. So I made my first video. Well, I didn't make it myself, but I managed the process through freelancers. And it was on the Xbox mobile app. And I wrote a sentence within the character limit. And then he goes, great. How about, why don't you be our Xbox support social media lead? And I'm like, okay, sure. So started out making videos. And now I also manage Proactive, not the Reactive, but I manage the Proactive Xbox support Twitter, as well as the YouTube.
Okay, very cool. Very important job, support, interacting with the community. Love it. Are you a gamer yourself? I kind of assume so, but you know, there are a lot of folks who work at Xbox who aren't personally gamers, but what do you think?
Yeah, I absolutely love gaming. I grew up gaming. It's been a part of my life. I actually wouldn't be here if it wasn't for gaming. I can go on and like list all the games, the heroes, the characters, the worlds, the franchises that I love, but gaming is life.
Did you think growing up that you were going to work in the gaming industry?
Initially, no. And I don't want to sound like I'm not optimistic in a way, but I just thought it was just too much of a long shot, you know, just growing up in the South Bronx. I was always under the impression that, you know, people had to go to like a high visibility college, you know, where you can see the recruiters, get an internship, and then make it into the industry. So I never thought that I would be here until I had an experience that changed my life. And then I thought, you know what? I think this is possible.
That's cool. Yeah, I feel like a lot of the people I talk to have kind of an unconventional route to gaming, or like they don't really grow up thinking like, I'm going to be a game developer or like work in games marketing or something. And then that's where they end up. Like me personally, I didn't even think about Xbox until, you know, I was already in college. Like I'd been planning to like work for like the government or something. And then someone was like, oh, there's this opportunity with Xbox. There's this internship. And I was like, wow, that sounds like way more fun. And I love games. So yeah. So how did you get into this specific role? I feel like you've held a few different roles across the Xbox team, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure. Sure. So where it started first, like you, I was looking at a different industry, and I wanted to pursue a career in media communications. And I was working for a media network company, and through an event that was sponsored by Microsoft, and it ended up changing my life. And I got an opportunity to help with the Xbox One launch, where I got to help employees in our third party partner stores, so Best Buys and Walmarts and GameStops, and I would teach and train them on the Xbox One through a third party partner marketing company. And it was a temporary program, but it was enough to give me that slice of gaming, that slice of the life of what could be. And it was enough to propel me to take a chance. And I went and applied for the Microsoft store, physical stores. And I was turned down twice, but the third time I actually got hired. And I started out 6.5 years ago at our, was our Microsoft retail flagship store in Fifth Avenue, New York City. And that's where I began my journey as a product advisor. So fancy way of saying sales associate. And there, but I loved it because it was just so, it has so much range. I was able to, you know, help a grandma set up solitaire on her Surface, all the way to helping somebody set up their business for the first time using Microsoft 365. So it was a really rich range in which I can help customers in my community as well, really realize their dreams and empower them using Microsoft's technology, products and services. And then from there, I was able to get promoted to a learning specialist, in which I was onboarding field employees, teaching and training them the same way it was done for me. And that was the last title I held before coming to Team Xbox.
Very cool. Well, I'm glad you didn't give up after those first two times you were turned down. Yeah, I feel like, you know, not that many people that I work with, like, this was just their first job straight out of college. Like, I was also a vendor, like working with Microsoft, but not at Microsoft for like 5 years before I got my job on the Xbox team. So, you know, it's a journey, right? But it sounds like you had a lot of experience, like working with people, like kind of getting to know the needs of like players and customers. And so hopefully that, I would assume that kind of helps inform what you're working on today. So that's a pretty cool journey.
Yeah, I was very fortunate to be in that location because it was a very high traffic, high visibility place. And we had like a lot of visitors. So I was very fortunate to meet people such as our CMO, Chris Capicella. Even Satya himself met me, which I thought was crazy, but it it happened. But the one thing that really set the ignition on this journey was back in 2016, when we had our very first midnight launch in the store, and we wanted it to be big. It was Tom Clancy's Division, the first one. And we had a what was called a community specialist, and they pretty much helped set up events internally, externally. And one of them had grabbed me and said, "Hey, Albert, we're going to do this launch. I'm not really big into gaming. Can you just help me along with this meeting and this walk so that you can answer any Xbox questions?" So I said, "Sure, no problem. I'll go ahead and do it." And all of the names, all of the people coming through the door, and lo and behold, the last person stepped through is Larry Herb himself. And I'm like, wow, Major Nelson. And we do the walk, we do the tour, everything's great. And then Larry goes, "Wow, this is a lot. I'm going to do this, but I need one thing." And my team is like, "What do you need, Larry? What do you need?" Because it's the first launch and we want it to be big. And what's bigger than having Major Nelson, you know, be the host? So he goes, "Oh, I need that guy to be my chaperone." And I'm looking at me, and he's like, "Yeah, you." And then they're like, "Albert, sure. Just have him. And it was great. You know, I got to work with Larry, and, you know, just pretty much, "Hey, you know, 5 minutes till the stream ends. We're going to do a giveaway here." So this kind of helped managing him navigating the building and through the event. But the key there in that night was I got to talk to Larry for about 15, 20 minutes during one of the breaks. And I told him everything I wanted to do. I said, "Hey, Larry, I want to be on Team Xbox one day. I love gaming. I want to, you know, stay in New York too and do it." And he looked at me and he said a lot of things, He gave me a lot of advice, but the one thing that stuck with me was like, hey, I want you to be persistent. I want you to be consistent. And above all, you got to be patient because it's going to be a journey. There's no blueprint for this. But if you believe in the vision and you believe in yourself, you can achieve it. And he had prompted me to go ahead and create something. He said, you know, make sure you work on a portfolio, something that shows your talent. And I went home that night and I made my first internal digital magazine, and that helped propel me to this role today. So thank you, Larry.
That's so cool. Yeah, I love to hear that. I mean, obviously, I'm a little bit biased. I have also very strong feelings for Larry as my coworker. But that's so cool. It's awesome. Like, some people, like, so early on have such a profound impact on our careers. And so I'm really glad to hear that Larry was able to help you and meet you like years back. It is quite the journey. But so now then, I guess, so you work in gaming, but I mean, are there any other fields that interest you? Do you think you want to stay in gaming forever?
Oh, definitely. Well, I still want to stay in gaming. I love Xbox. It's always been my calling. I believe it's my calling. I am looking at, you know, maybe other areas. I really like social. I love Xbox social and comms. I also love Xbox brand lifestyle and partnerships. I think that's also a good area to be in. Funny enough, over the summer, Aaron Greenberg had, and I'm not sure if he's joking or not, but he had commented on one of my tweets and he had called me like the best dressed man in gaming, and it just spread like wildfire. And then I'm like, oh, Larry. And then I'm like, hey, oh, Aaron, stop. You know, you're too kind. And, you know, people kind of took to it. You know, it was like, well, is Albert going to buy this? Or, hey, if Albert has this, you know, this Xbox swag or this Xbox gear, then I know it's good because, you know, he goes out and gets this stuff. So it kind of propelled me and like pushed me to like think about the brand and lifestyle part of it as well, because it was only, you know, I only got our products, I only get our swag and stuff because I like it. And I genuinely love it. And the fact that people were taking stock into that, it had me thinking. And that's also a lane or also an area that I also am pursuing. So one of my goals, I do have a lot of stuff on the bucket list, but I actually want to be one of the models on the Xbox Gear Shop site. So,
well, it seems like you're able to do whatever you put your mind to. So I might be seeing you up there soon.
You know what? I believe it. I'm going to see it and I'm going to work towards it.
Manifest it. Make it happen.
Right.
Well,
right,
I hope that I get to meet you someday, Mr. Best Dressed on the Xbox team. but thank
That's
you so much for joining
opinion.
Us today.
No problem. Yeah. No problem.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Sea of Thieves fans, you've got a big week this week. We heard some great news from Rare, and joining us today is Joe Neat, executive producer of Sea of Thieves. Joe, great to see you as always.
And you, it's always a pleasure to be back here. It usually means we've got something to talk about, doesn't it? So it's great. Yeah.
It sure does. Tell us about what you guys announced this week. I know there's a blog post that came out, depending upon when you're listening to this, very recently, either yesterday or, you know, a few days ago. Tell us about the blog post and what you guys have announced coming to Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, so very much, you know, for the last year, we've been running seasons, and we did season 5 in kind of December, which was that really cool tools, not rules approach with the fireworks, with like a million things, burying treasure, like so much stuff in there. But we were very much looking at the previous year and kind of looking at seasons and almost how do we level up? How do we level up this approach? And so we loved what seasons brought. It always brought in new mechanics at the start of a season. Gave you that progression, that ability to play the way you wanted. But what we really looked at is how do we kind of give you more interesting things in between the kind of launch of seasons? How do we bring more emotion and more narrative into our world and make it feel like the world's kind of ever changing and evolving. And so we announced that alongside Seasons, we're bringing in adventures and mysteries. So those will be kind of the three pillars of our ongoing kind of world and live service is, you know, the Seasons that everybody knows and loves, but then these adventures, which are these time limited kind of narrative led events that will really drive the world forward. They will herald the introduction of new mechanics. And they also have that ability for our community to kind of influence them as well. The way players choose to, you know, side with different kind of sides or factions or something as you go through things like this will help influence the path that our world takes and the story takes. So there's some really interesting stuff there. And then mysteries are another thing all unto themselves. Right? Very mysterious.
You can't talk really too much about mysteries because otherwise it won't be a mystery.
Indeed, yeah. But you know, we've been open that our first mystery, which will begin kind of during season six, does have to be careful not to say the wrong thing here, but starts with the murder of a well-known character from the Sea of Thieves universe.
No.
Yeah. And so, my. Yeah. So, you know, we're really excited by the prospect of mysteries and by this unfolding mystery within the game, but also with clues and things unfolding out of the game as well. So you're going to be progressing it forward within the game. Our community is, but also there'll be clues and things released out. And it's something we see, you know, we're really interested to see how that plays out. It kind of takes things from ARGs that we're going to be kind of folding in, but with stuff in game too. Yep. But yeah, it's all about solving this mystery, which is the murder of a character. And so the character is yet to be revealed who that's going to happen to. But,
right.
You know, it's like an actor that reads the script. It's like, oh, I've got to film that scene. That's how that character's feeling right now.
Right.
They know their scene. They know their future.
Well, we've got some gameplay that we're going to show in just a minute that you guys sent over, which is great. But I want to talk a little bit about your extraordinary year last year in 2021. It just felt like you guys were on a roll. And then we hit June and we had your great tie-in with the Pirates of the Caribbean, which, I, as you know, because I was so proud that I finished the entire thing 100%. I sent you an email personally. But let's talk about last year, because it was really an amazing year for Sea of Thieves, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, it was incredible, right? Like, if we look back, the fact that we launched, even just that we began doing Seasons within that year, right? Like, we started 2021 with Seasons. Now Seasons are just how we do Sea of Thieves, right? But that was where we started it at the beginning of last year. And then hidden away in the background, very much so, was the us working on A Pirate's Life, and a dream for everyone at Rare, right? To be able to work on something like that in collaboration with Disney, who were an amazing partner as well. Honestly, it was a dream to work with them, and the alignment we had around what we were doing and why. But to keep it secret as well, like we've talked about in the past, like to be able to do that and surprise people in the way that we did, you know, on that virtual digital stage at E3 was incredible. And to think that only got us halfway through the year, right? But it was an amazing moment. I think, you know, a career highlight, I think, in a lot of ways for so many people, because it's not often you get to work on, you know, such a beloved IP like that. And also one that's also within our own beloved IP that we're getting to bring that to that. It's just like, that's really cool, right?
Yeah, I mean, it is cool. And again, this is, if you're just watching now or you're just getting into Sea of Thieves, this content's there. You can go back and play it again or enjoy it or bring your friends in and play it again. So it's not like you talk about some of the time limited stuff, but in this case, the Pirate's Life is not. It's going to live on.
No, at all.
It's which is lovely. So, but you know, you had a massive year for Sea of Thieves. I saw this topping 25 players life to date, and you had 5 million copies sold on Steam. Congratulations on that. That's no small feat.
It's amazing, right? And, you know, and both of those numbers were announced a little while ago. They're a bit higher now. I can't quite reveal where they are. But but it was. And actually, if we look year on year, so we're in our fourth year now of Sea of Thieves, like nearing our fourth anniversary, actually, in March.
Your senior year, as you would say in the United States, if you're in high school.
But each year has been bigger than the last. And that's not just in terms of what we've released, but like by looking at the data and looking at the player numbers in terms of, and so not just that like 25 million total player number going up, but it's actually how many people turn up each year.
Yeah.
So like 2021 was categorically our biggest year yet in terms of player numbers, the people that played Sea of Thieves during that year. And that was 25% bigger than 2020. And that was bigger than 2019 and then bigger than 2018. So this, you know, our community, our player base, the buzz, the excitement, the kind of this world, this game is continually growing from a feature perspective, but it's also growing from a player base and community's perspective. And that's just an awesome sort of trend to be on. And, you know, we kick off the start of each year saying this year is going to be the biggest year yet. And so far we've not been proven wrong. So hopefully I'll be back here next January saying the same thing. But you know, someone will clip that and we'll see if it's true.
Let's see what happens there. Now I want to talk a little bit about some of the gameplay that you guys sent over here. Tell us what we're looking at here. Cause this is kind of a fly through, but tell us what we see.
Yeah, so these are our sea forts, which are coming in as part of season 6. And so these are kind of like similar, like in terms of the forts themselves. So the forts that you have in Sea of Thieves are these big kind of shared world, tries to drive multiple crews together. This brings that fort experience, but in a more compact, smaller thing that's maybe more suitable to solo or to small single crews. And it doesn't advertise its kind of active state when people are taking it on. So it's trying to kind of give people that shorter session fort experience, maybe for kind of smaller crews, but really like delivering what people love about it. But as you can see,
you may stumble upon these as you're kind of cruising through the world, as opposed to when you're seeing some of the skeleton forts, which have a clear indicator that something's going on.
Exactly that. And so there are 6 of these now in the world. And these have, like, if we think about the narrative that our adventures will tell and will kind of unfold, and what you've seen previously in the narrative, including kind of the Pirate's Life Tall Tales and everything, like this all is interconnected and follows on. So the reason for these sea forts appearing and where they've come from is going to be explained as part of that that ongoing narrative, as part of adventures. So it's all kind of tied together, you know, the new features that we want to continue to grow, like introduce into our world as part of seasons, will tie together with that ongoing narrative. So it's all connected, it all makes sense. But these, like, this is such a beautiful architecture as well. It's that kind of Spanish colonial kind of architecture that you recognize. But again, we've seen this in the Sea of the Damned. We haven't seen this in the real world so far. So it's a nice kind of break from stuff that you've seen before as well. And as you can see, each part of the world has a slightly different style as well in terms of these forts where they show up. So you can see they look quite unique and quite different.
Yeah, that's the great thing about these, is that you'll be able to kind of stumble upon them, as you said, solo or maybe with a duo. And you can take on this fort without, frankly, attracting a lot of attention from that Reaper ship that always shows up at the last minute to take all your stuff, right? So this kind of addresses that. I mean, those will still be there, but this is kind of a more of a quiet, subtle, conservative way of participating.
Takes away some of the risk, but not all of it.
So right? Joe, there's a lot of stuff in this update. This is just January. You have an entire year ahead of you.
We do indeed. We're kicking off with, the first adventure starts February 17th, and then March the 10th is when season 6 starts, which introduces the sea forts, it introduces the pirate legend quests, and then we roll into the kind of monthly cadence of adventures that we are having on kind of on top of our seasonal delivery.
Yeah, I mean, it's you guys continue to roll on there and continue. I know you've got a lot of plans this year for Sea of Thieves. This is just the beginning, right? I mean, every year, you like you said a moment ago, every year it's your biggest year ever. But I know you've got some pretty big plans. You're not going to talk about them now, because we're just excited about the next season and what you've brought into it, and focusing on just really bringing great experiences for players. It's got to be great to have, you know, 25 million pirates around the world, Joe. That's amazing.
It's honestly, it's amazing. When we started this, and you know, when we set off with this, I don't think we ever realized or even hoped really that we would reach that many people with this, right? And it's a privilege to be able to do it. Right? It's a privilege to work on Sea of Thieves. It's a privilege to basically go and build our plans based around what cool content do we want to go and add to the game. How do we want to grow this in the way that's going to delight our players? And you know, of course, at the back of our minds, we're always thinking about, like, we need to continue. We want to continue to be a successful business. We want to continue to make sense to kind of do this. But it's always been about, how do we, like, lead with the creative? How do we lead with the game experience? How does that be always the thing? And always the player experience is the thing that matters to us the most. And so we're lucky that we've got a game And we've got a way that we work and a way that we grow and evolve this that continues to lead to kind of it being successful and bringing more players in and everything. So it's great, right? It's a privilege and it's an honor to be able to work on something like
that. Well, it's you know, when you have the ability to build what you want to build is amazing. And I know that this is a testament to your boss, Craig Duncan, who's the head of Rare, and then his boss, you know, Matt Booty. And then it just goes right up to Phil, because they're just like, just go build what's going to make sense and what's going to make gamers happy. Right.
That is absolutely it. Right. Like, and it's that culture and that kind of culture of empowerment and of trust and of, like, you know, that even just this, all of the different studios that we now have as part of Xbox, that's the approach, right? It's like, hey, we want great studios because we know that they can go build great experiences for our players. And it's like, so go do what you do best, right? And we trust you to kind of make good decisions. Just keep us informed as to what you're doing and let us know why and let us know how we can help. But it's an amazing culture and a place to be part of, right? Like, you couldn't ask for more as a games developer. So you kind of feel like the best funded indie developers in the world, because you get to go be independent and feel that way and make your own decisions. And you know, it's not like you're kind of having to submit milestones every 3 months to kind of go, is that okay? It's no, okay? You just go, hey, this is what we're doing, like, and this is why we're doing it. And yeah, it's great, right? So it's like I said, it's a privilege to be in that position, because I've worked at different companies, different places, different cultures, and nothing's felt like this.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, I'm a big fan of what you guys do, the game, you personally, you know, everybody there at Rare. It's one of my favorite studios to come out and visit. So I want to thank you for another amazing year last year, Sea Thieves, and what we have to look forward to. I'll put a link to the blog post down below in the show notes so that people can go through it. And I'm sure there's all sorts of threads. You have an amazing community that are going to go through this line by line and moment by moment and syllable by syllable. So again, congratulations to you and the team, Joe. I know it's been a great last year, been great 4 years, and I'm looking forward to, like I say, having you back in a few months to talk about more fun stuff.
Indeed. All right, always a pleasure.
I'll let you get back into your cool pirate's den there. We'll talk to you later, my friend.
Cheers. See ya.
Thanks, Rebecca, for that very illuminating discussion with Albert Dankwa and, of course, Larry, bringing Joni back to talk about a really exciting year of 2022 with new adventures, this whole mystery thing for Sea of Thieves, season 6, like a lot of stuff coming up. It was really cool to see them share everything. And by the way, if you want all the details on that, if you want to watch the stream that they did last Thursday, they've captured that. It's on Xbox Wire. It's, of course, on seaofthieves.com as well. You can watch that. And there's a lot to be excited about.
Pull link there. Also, I want to thank Albert. He was just so overly generous and kind in the words he said about me. It was slightly embarrassing, but I want to thank him.
You can edit all that out.
What? No, he was very nice. He was very nice. And it was unexpected. And thank you for your kind words as well, Rebecca. So anyway, it was great to see Rebecca. I love, you know, hearing voices, the different voices around the Xbox organization, because we've got so many interesting stories, and Albert is just one of many. We'll be telling a lot of those stories in the coming shows, because there's such amazing people that work with us that have gotten into the games industry, specifically at Xbox, through very unorthodox ways, right? It's just been crazy. I mean, you know, Jeff was working at a newspaper in Central Florida. Now he's, you know, running a team for Microsoft in Seattle. You know, Rebecca, you've got a fascinating story from, you know, you told a little bit of it during the interview. You know, so that everybody's got an interesting story to tell. So.
Yeah. But the one thing we all have in common is we all love games.
Yes.
But yeah, there are just so many different unique roles across the team. So I love getting to meet other colleagues on Xbox. And especially with Albert being in New York, I think he and I are probably going to meet up and maybe chat with some other local New York folks. So it was really great to get his get introduced to him.
Plus, he also grew up in New York. You know, you're kind of a temporary, feels like long-term.
I don't call myself a New Yorker yet.
I'm okay with that. But yeah, you know, you're so I'm sure he can show you where the better pizza is and you know, whatnot, and all the good stuff there. So looking forward to seeing what happens there. Anyway, Jeff, you got some news, and then Rebecca, we're gonna talk about Wordle starting words, because we asked that question last week. And, yeah, right. How's Wordle going for you this week, folks?
I mean, I've solved them. not in three turns or two turns, but yeah.
Yeah, I've had some three. I've actually been having dreams about Wordle, and my roommate said this too. Like,
are you talking in your sleep?
No, we both had dreams that we like solved it super fast. Like in my dream last night, actually, I dreamt that I got it on my first guess and the word was spleen, which is kind of hilarious because that's actually a 6-letter word and not a 5-letter word.
Spleen, right.
Yeah. So my dream is never going to come true. But yeah, I think I got them this week on like my third and fourth try. It's kind of funny. Like I like playing this game because it's helping to expand vocabulary a little bit. Like we talked about how like Shire was kind of an unfamiliar word. And then This week, one of the words was knoll, K-N-O-L-L, which is like a grassy hill or something. And a lot of my friends were like, I've never even heard of this word before. And
I've never seen JFK.
Like, yeah. Like, okay. But it's fine. How about you guys?
Oh, I know. I mean, I'm playing it with, you know, we're on this internal Teams channel where we post every morning or every day, and Jeff chided me.
I'll do it right away
for sharing too much information, I guess.
More than once. And I'm always, I think, just about the last person to do it. And I always look because I wake up and I have all these notifications. And it's usually like 3:37 a.m. today, Larry. So someone from London at 1:48 a.m. That makes sense because it's like 10 a.m. for her. And then you're 3:37 a.m. Pacific. Like, I was reading an article that back in the Middle Ages, before we had like electricity and like clocks, like people would go to sleep at sunset and they would wake up around midnight and they'd be up for a couple hours and then they go back to bed and sleep again. So it was like sleep was segmented. It's a whole thing.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I feel like that's you, Larry, except, you know, they used to get up and I don't know where they would do chores. You get up and you do Wordle and then you go back. Presumably, I hope you go back to bed.
I do.
There you go. You're living natural sleep.
Well, you know, you talked about that, but I was reading another unrelated article, I believe, about how some of the Native Americans, what they would use for an alarm clock, water, because water, it took so long to go through the body. So they would drink a lot of water at a certain time during the night, and they would all wake up at the same time because their bodies are like, I got to go to the bathroom. And then they would.
Oh, that's interesting.
Right. Wow. So there you go. So that's part of me, like I said last week, that's kind of why I get up, because I go up and, you know, drinking a lot of water. But I like to keep my mind going 24/7. Always learn, Jeff. Always be learning. I love it. That's what I do.
Okay. Not 3:37. I ain't learning too much.
It sounded like it was going to be an acronym, like always be learning.
No, I couldn't go there. Always, I couldn't do that much. But anyway, we're going to talk about your Wordle words, because last week, if you listen to the show on Spotify, we're in video and we have this new feature where we can ask a question. If you scroll down, you'll see it. So we'll talk about that.
No, do it now.
You're going to do it now. All right.
About it. Let's do it.
Might as well.
So Rebecca, I think you've got a bunch of the responses there. If you can maybe talk about some of what.
Yeah.
And the question was, just to remind people, what is your Wordle starting word? That was the question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So some pretty good answers. So my favorite was from Papa Giorgio, who commented also that like he watched Wheel of Fortune, which I also watched Wheel of Fortune. And so we have a similar starting word. My first starting word is, depending on the word of the day previously, is usually steal. So S-T-E-A-L. But Papa Giorgio put in tears, which is also a good one.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Kind of similar vein with Wheel of Fortune letters. I also liked orate, O-R-A-T-E, from Jacob Morgan, 1221. Yeah, three vowels in one word. That's a nice touch. I might steal that one.
Yeah.
Kind of similarly is honey from Infinite 8 John. I thought that was a good one too. Hmm. Also flash from Alex O'Connor, using a lot of those same Wheel of Fortune words. And then also lastly, we have Xbox from Tommy Volkonen, which is, I love the spirit, but it needs to be 5 letters.
Read the rules, my friend.
Is it X-B-O-X-X? Like, how does he?
No.
Okay.
Just Xbox.
Okay.
Yeah. Love the effort, but, but yeah, so we love getting. Yeah, I mean, we love getting the answers through Spotify, so please continue to send them to us. I think this week we wanted to know, just since we've all been playing Rainbow Six Extraction,
yes,
if anyone has any tips or things that, you know, you recommend for other people who are playing, we would love to hear them, because if you couldn't tell from the clip that we took, we kind of sucked. So.
So your homework, your assignment, should you choose to accept it, is, if you're a Game Pass member, and I know if you listen to this show, you're a Game Pass member, go download Rainbow Six Extraction. Either matchmake, it'll put you with some folks, or find some friends that are also, you know, also on Xbox and want to play Rainbow Six, and kind of play around with it, and then send us your tips. We'll put that, go to Spotify, and you'll scroll down and you'll see what's the question. So give us your tips. Doesn't matter what it is, small, large, we'd love to hear it, right? Help us play better. Help everybody play better. And then next week, Rebecca will read them on the show. We'll give you full credit for all of your
research.
And then
we will go play according to those tips.
Yes.
And see if we get better.
So
Sorry. Next week, I won't be here. So I'm actually flying home for Lunar New Year. You might know it as Chinese New Year. It's February 1st.
What is it? It's a new animal. What's the animal of this year of 2022?
Yes. We're going into the year of the tiger. Can't really tell you any of the horoscope stuff about it, but it's just, you know, in a lot of different Asian cultures, it's a really important holiday. It's for some, it's the biggest holiday of the year. Mm-hmm. Like Vietnamese call it Tet. Obviously the Chinese New Year, I think they have another name for it too, but usually just a really good time to get together with family or eat certain kinds of food. So
What kind of food will you eat? I'm curious.
Yeah. So, there are different like traditions between different Asian cultures. So, for Koreans, we eat what's called dakguk, and so it's like rice cake soup. I think that the rice cakes are supposed to be like maybe symbolizing coins. I can't really remember. I just know that we always eat like the rice cake soup, and they're kind of like circular rice cakes. And I know that my Chinese friends, I think that they eat like noodles, like they're long for like longevity, long life. I know that they eat like fish, and then also dumplings, I think, for the same, like it's kind of shaped like a coin or like money reason. So 50. Those are usually the things I eat.
Cool. Yeah. Well, thank you. That's I appreciate that. Well, enjoy your week off. And Jeff and I, we're working on a special show for next week. We may have a special guest in. Stay tuned. If not, it'll just be he and I. So
we'll figure it out. A very not special show.
It'll be the most unspecial show. But Jeff, you got a little bit of news over there. We talked about Sea of Thieves, and Joe talked about that, and you did some headlines. We got some other stuff wrapped up there as well this week, right?
That is correct. There's a few things new releases, things to be playing, things that have hit Game Pass. So the first one I want to call attention to is a game that really caught my attention, made by a team called 40 Giants Entertainment out of Brazil. I don't feel like we've seen a tremendous amount of games coming out of Brazil, and this one really caught my eye. It's called Reverie Knights Tactics. Has that word tactics. If it has tactics in it, I will play it. If it was tax preparation tactics by H&R Block, I would probably play it. But this one looks really cool. They've got a really nice, bold art style. Reminding me of Banner Saga a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And so if you were ever into that, it definitely is catching my eye. So I've downloaded it. I'm going to be playing it this weekend, and we'll talk about it next week. But there's a great post on how it all came together over on Xbox Wire. As to games that we talked about recently that are now available, Taiko no Tatsujin.
That's a tough one to pronounce.
The Drum Master, the sort of those Taiko drums. That game is now out on Game Pass. I'm looking forward to trying that out, seeing what it's like. And there we go. Larry's like, you've been playing it already, clearly.
He's ready.
And I wanted to talk about on Free Play Days. So Free Play Days are games that, you know, you can buy, but sometimes for a short amount of time, usually the weekend, like Thursday night through Sunday night Pacific time, if you're an Xbox Live Gold or an Xbox Game Pass Ultimate member, you can download and play the full game for free during that time. You're going to have a hard time maybe beating the game.
Yeah.
But the goal being it's usually on sale as well. And I want to call this week, so For Honor, game from Ubisoft that's been going on for years and has had season after season. So if you've never tried that out, you can try it out for free. And if you want to buy it, the standard edition is $4.50. So not exactly a huge commitment.
Yeah.
And I want to call it one of my favorite, I would say unsung games of the last couple of years, Valkyria Chronicles 4. This is a game that another sort of tactical RPG, but definitely like way more expansive, and it's thinking outside the grid. Loved this game. I must have put in 50 hours into it when I played it last year. So that is available now. If you like what you've seen, definitely recommend you pick it up. The standard edition is $12, which is 60% off the complete edition, which I picked up. Highly recommend it, because if you get into it, you're going to want to play all the DLC missions. Is $15. So definitely, if you like these types of games, support them. Try it out. Valkyria Chronicles 4 and For Honor, free for now, but only until Sunday night.
All right. That's
and then last thing, just want to mention Games with Gold. So we announced February's Games with Gold, which we'll become available starting February 1st. So we have Broken Sword 5, The Serpent's Curse. That'll be available all through the month of February from the 1st to the 28th. Also at that time, through the magic of backward compatibility, Xbox 360 game Hydrophobia. That's from February 1st through February 15th.
Yep.
And then our second half of the month games, we have a game called Aerial Knights Never Yield, and then Band of Bugs, which is another Xbox 360 game that I think uses your avatars, if I recall correctly. It's been a long time.
Oh, that's a good,
I think
good,
that might have been a tactical cool. game too.
Good call.
Yeah, it is. That was like a I remember playing that back in like 2006 or 7. It's been a long time, but I remember having fun with that.
Ah, the golden age of gaming, right?
This is the golden age, Larry.
Been through many ages. Anyway, thank you for the news roundup, Jeff. Lots of news. You can always go over to news.xbox.com and check that out. You can also, as I've been flashing up here throughout the show, you can follow us on Twitter. You know, Rebecca works on the Minecraft team, so she'll frequently tweet about Minecraft things and also noodles. and then Jeff will. Well, I think he's still under the contract for Yakuza, right? You're still supporting.
whenever there's news,
affiliate, yeah.
I may have been typecast as like the Yakuza guy, but there's worse things to be known as.
I appreciate the passion. I mean, when we all find these, I found certain games over the years that I just completely gravitate towards too. Rebecca, I know you found certain, and that's the beauty of gaming is there's something for everybody, and something just really, really, you know, flips your switch. So I'm just glad that we've all found our games, and I'm sure you have too. So, all right, gang. Well, we're going to wrap it up. Rebecca, I wish you a, is it appropriate to say Happy New Year, Happy Lunar New Year? I don't know. How do you say it? Can you tell me how you say it in Korean?
Yeah, either's fine. In Korean, it's really long in Korean. Okay. It's Sehe Bok Mani Padaseo. So yeah.
What does that translate? Does that just translate to Happy New Year? Or is it something else like Happy New Year and good luck or?
It's like have good luck in the new year.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Well, I wish you and your family a wonderful celebration, and whoever else is out there celebrating it, I wish you a happy Lunar New Year as well. Jeff, anything you want to say before we roll?
Gonghae Fa Choy, which is in Cantonese.
There we go.
And if you've seen Ronnie Chang's stand-up on Netflix, he dives into that, which is, I recommend it.
All right. Well,
yeah, it was pretty good.
Happy Lunar New Year. Jeff and I will be back next week, hopefully with a special guest. Otherwise, he's just going to be he and I. So we'll see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.